Welcome to the Northern Nerd Podcast. We're glad you could join us today. The Northern Nerd is the Northwoods entertainment, media, and creative hub. Each show includes different guests that come from all walks of life with stories to share. Enjoy our latest episode. Today's sponsor for the podcast is Par Enterprises LLC Snow Removal, a locally owned company with years of snow plowing experience and the latest equipment. Give them a call and get a free estimate today at 715-558-0946. That's 715-558-0946. Or find them on Facebook at Par Enterprises. Hello and welcome to the Northern Nerd Podcast, episode number 11. Here I am today with, or actually this evening, we're recording this right before this big snowstorm we're supposed to get. So I did go on a pizza run and I did get enough cereal. So cereal is a must have if a snowstorm is coming.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Great. Any time of the day, you can have it for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Mm-hmm. All right. I need to introduce my guest here and not get into snowstorm specifics here. All right. So with me today is Sawyer Young. Sawyer and I go back quite a few years. He's a soon-to-be graduate of Rose Holman in Terre Haute, Indiana, this spring. He graduated from Hayward High back in 2015 and has recently accepted a position at Trelleborg.
Yep.
Yeah, I said it right. Trelleborg Aviation in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And just to clarify, there are no giant Blake forts in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Yep, that's right.
Yet. Soon. Maybe when Sora gets there for a while, he'll get comfortable and he'll build the biggest blanket fort in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and it'll be known for something totally different.
Well, all right, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, not a problem. This was kind of an awkward beginning, but glad you're still on the show with us.
It works.
All right, so sir, what have you been up to lately?
Recently, currently I'm on spring break with Rose. We do trimesters there. Have three quarters throughout the year. So have about a week and a half off. So I've just been up here hanging out with the family and seeing some friends and everything. But as far as recent, closed up the job search a little bit ago. That was a little stressful, but it was cool going through that and being able to kind of pick and choose where you want to go. And so far, senior year has been good. Enjoyed sports, at Rose and all my time there. It's kind of different now that, the athlete years are kind of done and you gotta really, have the motivation to go work out and make that part of your day and everything. But yeah, life's been good. I'm just looking forward to the future.
Nice. So what was the toughest part about the job, search?
Yeah. Nice thing about Rose, they made it pretty easy, at least coaching you up how to go and find companies and talk to them, kind of get you in the professional mindset with that. But as far as your own personal search, in the fall, we have a career fair, and usually all the best jobs, kind of the top line ones, or at least the big companies, go and snag all the best students for those jobs. And I had a few companies I talked to after that. Not many panned out, but it came around early December. I got my first offer with a medical device company up around Warsaw, which is about an hour west of Fort Wayne. I liked the offer and everything, but I kind of kept searching. It wasn't exactly what I wanted to do because I'm doing mechanical engineering. And then more interviews came, one with BAE Systems, their defense company. They're actually headquartered in London, England. So they're kind of a little foreign. And then also with Trelleborg Aviation, I started having interviews with them. And that was nice that those came up because that was a little more what I wanted to do, a little more in the aerospace and defense sector. But as that came along, I also had some interviews and offers came along with Honeywell. Honeywell didn't have an offer, but also Altec, where they're an electrical component vehicle company. So it was kind of interesting work. But yeah, as it narrowed down, went with Trelleborg. They had the best offer and kind of best package, and I wanted to be up in the area because my girlfriend's up around Fort Wayne. So
yeah. Gotta go where the lady is.
Yeah. So that's kind of a double whammy there. It went well. So
yeah. Yeah, that's good. Seems like you interviewed at quite a few places then. Mm-hmm. And it can be a tricky thing because you never know what one offer is going to say. And and it's tough. Did you feel like a free agent?
Yeah.
But it wasn't like your kind of market. It was like, man, I got to land on a team here.
Yeah, like, it was more, you know, I want them, they don't want me kind of thing. It was fun. It was
a guy on a one-year deal trying to prove himself. Mike Trout situation there.
Rookie minimum and everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was cool, but it was funny throughout the process because, you know, they give you a waiting period and everything to decide. And the first company gave me 2 months, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. You know, and then I hear back from BAE Systems, and I was super happy about the offer. They're like, oh, we'll give you 3 business days to decide. And I'm going over on spring break, which is a little earlier than other schools, end of February. And we call it our spring break. It's our quarter break. And then I hear back from Trelleborg because I told them that, you know, the other company had offered me. And they're like, oh, cool. You know, I was like, oh, they'll probably give me a week. And they say, well, it would be nice to hear back in 48 hours. You know, so I was like, oh, you know, I just laughed at that point, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm in Florida. I need to make big life decision. But, you know, it was all fine. It was cool. But. It was just kind of a comical situation at the end, but it was all fine.
It's good. Have you had trouble? Are you starting to look for, I guess, housing in Fort Wayne then?
Yeah. Deeming that the weather kind of holds off or isn't too horrible, I'll be make my way down to Columbia City, which that's about a half hour west of Fort Wayne, and I'll be living there. And I'll be looking at an apartment on Saturday. So,
okay.
Yeah, just kind of looking around. There's a fair amount of apartments there, so just kind of pick and choose would be nice and everything. So,
yeah, I find that's one thing that I'd say keeps younger people from coming back to the Northwoods is just the lack of housing, and that's a problem that people in the area have been struggling to come up with an answer to is how do we get more young people coming back to the Northwoods. And a big part of that is just affordable housing. So some you have these really nice places, which are a little bit out of the price range.
Yeah.
But then you also have these more affordable places, but they're really run down. So it's trying to find like a medium there, and you almost kind of have to know somebody on the inside. So I think that's why there's a lot more people, younger people our age, going to the city because there's a lot of jobs there. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things. Mm-hmm. But then also there's I guess more affordable housing and more apartments there, but
yeah,
we'll figure it out here eventually.
Yeah. Well, you bring a good point up with the jobs, you know, there's obviously a lot of jobs. But as far as with a degree, maybe with engineering, it's kind of hard. Sometimes you kind of picking and choosing, trying to find, you know, what you can do for engineering. There's some, you know, local engineering. I found there's a lot more in, you know, Cumberland with 3M and different companies there. So it was like, you know, do I want to live in Cumberland? Do I want to live around local? Cause I almost decided to come back, you know, kind of live around here, pay off some debt and everything and enjoy the Northwoods. But, you know, I think going to Rose Holman to begin with, kind of getting into Indiana, then also now going to be working in Indiana. It's kind of just got me out of here for a little bit, you know, give me experience a little bit, something different.
Well, I think that's healthy though, too, is to go out and explore and, find out what it is that you're looking for. Not everybody's called to come back to live in their hometown.
Mm-hmm. You know, I you know, this is definitely home though. You know, it's great to be back. Whenever I'm back, it's awesome. You know, I'll go see all your friends, go see people that are back. It's kind of stinks with our schedule because ours is a little, you know, tilted with everyone else's. So you come back, you only can see, you know, a few people here and there. But
yeah, I remember our breaks never really aligned when I was in college.
Yeah.
I graduated in December, folks. I'm not that far out of college, but.
I can say back
in the college days now. I can say it. So
you're an old one.
Yeah. So you kind of touched on this briefly, but so you said the Northwoods is always going to be home for you. Mm-hmm. So how did growing up in the Northwoods shape you into the man that you are today?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think with a lot of people, I think we can both kind of feed off this. It's, you know, parents and everything. I think we both look up to parents, and that was definitely parents and immediate family, grandparents. I have a grandma that lives around here. That was probably the main proponent to me kind of, you know, getting shaped who I am. You know, I'm not perfect, but I do credit them, you know, teaching me a lot of good values growing up, how to deal with, you know, maybe not fitting in a crowd or something. Or, you know, I think the biggest thing they taught me is like how to fail, you know, because you're not going to be perfect through life. So being able to bounce back from different things, or at least being a support system when that happens, I was super grateful for that because, you know, whether it be high school, college, things didn't go always didn't go as according to plan. So it was good. It was good kind of having that small town, you know, upbringing, and then going to maybe a little bit bigger environment, and then after that, maybe a little bit bigger environment with a job now. And I definitely am super happy that it's been like that, because, you know, I know people that have been from, you know, different cities and whatnot. They don't, you know, might not always understand the small town, you know, feel, the small town community, where like personal relationships are a lot more valuable
right.
to me, you know?
Yeah. And I think there's like a lot of common stereotypes that people have for small town people. So you probably heard all of them when mm-hmm. at yeah. college, but like, oh, there's only one stoplight, or just different things like, oh, the town closes down at 8 o'clock or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that you touched on this, is that you experience failure, but you know how to respond to failure now because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So you had that support system around you, but you also had those people pushing you to the point where you weren't afraid to fail. And I think that's something that is kind of lost for the most part in today's society, is everybody is maybe afraid to fail, or they've only experienced success. And then when they do fail, they have trouble bouncing back or getting back up.
Mm-hmm.
So just having that and having those people around you, I think, is something that's great to have, and something that might go unappreciated or underappreciated, I think, in this area, just having those people to hold you accountable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, now that you got your job and kind of locked up, that's got to make you feel pretty good, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Lots of stress off my shoulders after now.
Yeah. It's nice. Well, some of you may not know this, but Sawyer and I used to work at the Hayward Music Center, or most commonly known as the go-kart track in town. Sorry, I want to ask you, although you didn't have as long of a career there as I did, you still had a pretty good run.
Yep.
I want to ask you now, what was your favorite part about working on the go-kart track?
You know, it was the work, you know, definitely was the work. And just like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, you know, it wasn't too bad.
Okay. I was going to say, we weren't that stressed.
It was the interaction at the work that was,
okay.
That was fun. You know, it was always the joking around, you know, it was a go-kart track, but it was really, you know, loosely ran, you know, it was with structure. I don't know. It was fun, you know?
Yeah. We got to kind of be like, we did have our bosses. Don't get us wrong. We didn't run the place completely ourselves, but we also had the freedom to like kind of make our own schedule and then kind of go from there. And I don't really think for ourselves on some things.
Mm-hmm.
And then my favorite part, I think, was like the luau days that we had.
Oh yeah. The themes and everything. That was fun.
Yes. Yes. So, going back to you, what was your favorite part? Besides the community, I think, that we had there. Do you have one favorite memory from the track?
I have a good story.
Okay, go for it, man. Go for it.
Well, I was on the bridge, that, you know, the title deemed the bridge, where you sit out there.
Bridge man. 90,
yep, in the 90-degree weather and go from white to red in one day, you know? So,
yeah.
You know, I was out there and it's, you know, ride, you know, going around noon and everything, and, you know, just kind of doing my job. You know, you go out there, pull carts out, you know, if people are getting wrecks, you know, yell at the younger kids, or, you know, sometimes older people, you know, stop bumping and everything. And so, you know, there's a family going around, and a couple carts keep on going out. These kids, one son and one daughter, keep on spinning each other out. And, you know, it's just kind of irking me on the bridge, and you can kind of see the frustration at the main gate and everything. So, after a couple of times, I keep pulling them out and say, you know, hey, you know, knock it off. You know, like, you're going to get kicked off, you know, as happens always. They do it again, you know, and then I said, okay, you're getting kicked off. Radio down to, I think it was Phil Ziegel that day. Say, hey, we're kicking these people off. Well, the ride was getting done, so everyone was getting done. And I walked back kind of, you know, storming mad. I see this black Escalade. I was like, huh, that's weird. And then I realized, yeah, I'm yelling at Sean Duffy's kids, you know. So, you know, what, U.S. House Representative, I believe.
Yeah.
So I get back. I was like, oh, you know, that's nice. Yeah, I didn't realize that because I was just kind of zoning out. You know, it was, you know, middle of the day or dehydrated, you know, hot and everything. And it's like, oh, all right. So, yeah, that was that story. So,
yeah. There's been some crews that have come in, and I think one of my greatest memories there, it wasn't that fun to clean up, but it was this group of guys that, it was like four guys. They walked there. Mm-hmm. So that was the first sign of trouble. They were all together, and they were just being jerks the whole ride. And finally we said, we're going to kick you off. So we pointed them into the pit, race right through the pit. Something that you never want to do because it makes the workers extremely upset.
Mm-hmm.
And we almost see it like a challenge. Like, all right, you're challenging us. We are definitely going to kick you off now. So what we did was we threw tires in front of two of the guys, just the huge tires, and they crashed. One of the guys that was working at the time, I think it was Derek, got right in his face, and I thought there was going to be a fight. Meanwhile, the other two guys crash on the backside of the bridge, go through the field, leave their carts in the field, and take off on foot to Walgreens. I was like, I think I was like 15 or 16 at the time, and these guys had to be like 19 or 20 or something like that. I was like, do I chase after them? I was like, what am I going to do when I catch them? No, they're beat me up. Like, I come back, like, I don't look like a hero. I'm just like,
right.
But you get put in some awkward situations at the track. But also, I mean, we also had our games that we played too. So the bridge game, which was you have a quarterback on one side of the bridge, and then you have two guys in a double cart. And so you try to throw the football over the bridge while the two guys are going under neath the bridge, and they come out on the other side and catch football. This is what we do when people aren't there, when it's slow. We're just going to shoot you straight here. We also did some jousting.
Yep.
We did. So one guy would be on one side of the track and another guy would be on the other side of the track. You grab the mini golf putters and then you try to go past each other, not to hit each other, but to try to shut off each other's carts while you're going full speed.
Oh yeah. That was fun.
And then, well, the victory lap, but victory lap. You know, we'll just throw a wink at each other when I say the victory lap, and then we'll just leave it at that.
We'll just go from there.
Yep. Sounds good. So we had some pretty good times at the go-kart track.
Oh yeah.
But, yeah. So where I want to take this now, Sawyer, is so going from the go-kart track, I remember you having to leave early, for the summer because you had football at Rose Holman. Mm-hmm. What was it like being, a college athlete, and how was that experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, to begin with, you know, high school, you do pretty well. I suppose if you do try to do college football, you know, in high school, you're kind of had that in your mindset, like, hey, this is what I want to do. But, you know, in high school, senior year, usually starting or, you know, doing well enough. And then you go to college, and you think you're going to do all right, you know, and then there's kids from Mississippi, kids from Alabama, you know, they're just way better than you, you know.
They play football day and night.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my best friend, freshman year, it was the first week of camp, you know, he wasn't huge, but, you know, he comes on this jet sweep, and this linebacker hits him, he's out cold for the rest of the night, you know, so I was just like, you know, it's kind of welcome to college moment, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was fun, it was cool. I mean, I knew freshman year going in, I wasn't going to start, I knew that wasn't going to happen sophomore year, potential to get some time junior year, and I kind of set my sights on for senior year to start. I think the ability to see that was kind of brought through even high school. Like, I knew I wasn't going to start freshman year or sophomore year in high school. But to kind of see the long, you know, the quote unquote, the process, you know, trust the process.
All right, Joel Embiid, take it easy.
But to, be able to kind of see that was good. And, you know, coming on to junior year, got some time, senior year did start, had a good run, senior year, sophomore year, we made playoffs. It was the first time in school history. So we went to Naperville, Illinois, and played North Central. A pretty big team, but, through the years, it was fun. It was definitely, not only sports was fun, but it was just meeting a lot of new people, people that I eventually met in the fraternity at Rose, and just kind of, you know, building those friendships and those bonds. I'll be close to one of the former receivers, Luke Kopecky. He was kind of the one that talked to me freshman year and got me out of my shell and told me to talk a little more than what I was, you know, and kind of introduced me to everyone. So He's been a big impact in my life and other people, Alec Fisher and a lot of other seniors that, seniors when I was in my sophomore year. But yeah, a lot of good people have developed relationships over the years. But we actually played the number one team in the country, the D3 Bama, you know, Mountain Union to begin my senior year.
I like it.
Yeah, you know, and Dom Capers, the I think D coordinator of the Packers, former. Right, I think.
Yeah, fans got upset with him, and then he got fired.
Yeah, so. Well, he graduated from Mountain Union, and then also, I'm trying to think of it, Pierre Garçon.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I believe he was...
he's been terrible in my fantasy team at a time or two, so I remember him. Yeah.
But he was a Mountain Union graduate. And there's,
no, he's all good.
But, you know, you go there, and you just see all these names, and it was Dom Capers night, and it was just like, wow. and, you know, packed stadium. But, you know, I held my own in the game. We did lose by a fair amount. It was, we did hold them off for about the first half. It wasn't too bad. And then they were just, they were really good. They went on to get to the national championship that year, and then they lost to Mary Hardin-Baylor down in Texas. But it was cool lining up against some guys that are going to try to get into practice squads for the NFL this year. And to say that I ran a couple routes, got open, like, you know, I can hang my 4 years and, you know, be done with that. So
kids, when I was in college.
Yeah, that'll be my story.
Yeah.
Years down the road.
Yeah. Not looking to be a dad anytime soon.
No, we'll see when that happens.
Yeah. What would you say was the toughest part about being a student athlete? So I think it's in high school, sometimes it can feel like it's tough juggling classes and your practice schedule and mm-hmm. your game schedule. But college, it's even bumped up even higher there. Mm-hmm. So what would you say is the toughest part about being a student athlete?
Yeah. Well, at least my experience at Rose, it was nice that the coaches made sure that we never missed class. And I never missed one class, never missed 10 minutes of class for football. So that was great in itself. And we always planned the trips where we wouldn't have to miss. And that was great. But as far as juggling time with the combination of like three quarters in a year, they're kind of double spoon feeding you information in school. And then plus, you know, you're doing a lift. So about, you know, hour and a half of a lift three times a week. And then practice is about 3 hours, you know, 2.5 hours. So you're using a pretty large chunk of your day doing sports or something kind of extra, and then put, you know, maybe FCA on top of that, or, you know, other fraternity events or whatnot. You know, it takes up your time, but usually on the team, everyone's best GPAs were during season, because it caused them to be very, you know,
very disciplined.
Yeah. Very disciplined. Yeah. So it was a challenge, but now I look at it and I was like, wow, that was really helpful, because I don't know if I'll ever get that busy, you know, again. And, you know, I could be wrong. I could be very wrong, but I think I, you know, handled my time pretty well. And, yeah.
Yeah. That's nice that they, I mean, oftentimes I think people think that sports kind of put academics on the back burner. It's like sports. Yeah. School's there, kind of whatever. Like, you'll see that, I think, with just the NCAA tournament getting over with, you see those guys that are one and done. But that's not the case for 99.9% the athletes that go play college sports and then they don't go on to play professionally. Mm-hmm. And so those academics really come into play there. And I think that's good that your coaching staff stressed that and wasn't allowing you to miss mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. class time. And
yeah.
They're thoughtful of that. So that's good to hear.
Yeah.
glad to see it.
Yeah. You know, and even though, you know, the end game wasn't pro or anything, it's definitely worth it in college, you know, because as far as football goes, they say nothing will ever beat Friday Night Lights, you know, and that's true. But it's also fun kind of going to a place where you don't know really anyone, you know. And now I have, you know, people I'm competing with and people I'm friends with from, you know, California, you know, Ohio. I mean, that's just right next door to Indiana, but Florida, you know, different states and everything. It's like everyone has these different backgrounds. Everyone is from these different schools. You know, you go from playing, you know, maybe from Hayward and facing against those, you know, Heart of the North athletes, and then playing with guys that played with, you know, number one picks. You know, it's just like, it's kind of crazy. They have, you know, their friends, they have these numbers of some of these NFL players, and it's like, wow, you know. So
yeah.
It's cool meeting a bunch of different people. And if anyone wants to go do D3 sports, D2, D1, you know, what have you, go do that, because it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, I like it. So you mentioned as you were talking about your just trying to structure your time and how you go about your time management at college, and you said sometimes with FCA trying to work that in as well. So I know me and you are. Or you and I, we'll talk. It's late. Well, not really late. It's like 7:30. Yeah, I don't know why, but like my brain's kind of low functioning right now. But so you and I have been kind of, we're pretty open about our faith, I'd say. Mm-hmm. And so I guess what was one of the toughest things about being Christian in college? Did you find that it was, you were surrounded by more Christians on your football team, or that was maybe one of the factors going to Rose Holman, if that was more like a like a Christian school, or where did you find yourself at college?
Yeah. You know, Rose Home, as far as the school itself, you know, it's not Christian oriented, just a, you know, normal school as far as, that goes. It doesn't have any like religious affiliation, but I got hooked with FCA a lot with, to start off, I did it in high school, and then, senior year of high school, I led it and Friendship overlooked it and everything. And,
yeah,
you know, it kind of motivated me to go into college and find my role, kind of find my spot. And so I go, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people that I found were doing really well in this classroom and on the field. And they were also just like great to people. And I was like, oh, yeah, there's something different about them. You know, I kind of found out when FCA was. And I remember, actually remember the first time I went, it was the same, I went with the same kid that got knocked out in camp, you know, so it was kind of, you know, just for reference.
Yeah.
But, Nate Stewart, RIP, but,
he's not really dead.
No, he's alive. He's alive. But you know, we went, and you start meeting more people, more friends and everything. And through the years, I think to find your spot, you have to stay, true to yourself and who you were before. And I think that's sometimes, at least from, in my case, kind of where I came from and just my situation with my parents and everything. I think that was a good factor and really helped me, stay strong throughout college. You know, I wasn't perfect. No one's perfect, but I think I was able to, do fairly well at defending, being able to defend my faith, you know, and kind of stand firm with what I believe in. But it's definitely challenging. You meet people that you don't have those lifelong connections to. It's just brand new people. So you got to learn them, you know, learn how they act, how they respond to things. And it's, you know, it was cool. And throughout the years, kept going to FCA, small little devotionals throughout the fraternity and everything. And it was all good. And then senior year, end of junior year is in the spring. And then senior year, I decided to, kind of put my name in the hat to do FCA. And then myself and a friend, from California, Parker, work now this year, kind of going through and leading it. And it's been a lot of fun, you know, planning lessons for sometimes 20 people, sometimes 30, sometimes 8. And you just got to sit there and be like, you know, it's not, the attendance isn't due to what you're saying. You know, sometimes people are busy and everything. You can't get discouraged, you know, and people come once a week. It's 8:28 PM every Thursday night, you know, and it's good. You know, it's just, it's a way, it's not church, but it's a way just to block everything out for about an hour and be able to kind of connect to God.
Yeah. And there, when in college, there's so many different temptations and so many things trying to pull in different directions. But I think, yeah, it's important to remember where you came from and who you are, in your faith and with Christ. Like if you allow the world to control your narrative, then you're lost. Mm-hmm. It's good that you were able to find that and find those people to connect with, and then even step out in your faith and say, hey, I'm going to lead this thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's really neat that you're doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I mean, it was, you know, no better than, you know, the next person. You know, it's just, I think as Christians, we need to be intentional about, you know, talking to people, you know, creating those friendships, whether it's, I'm sitting here talking to you about God or not, you know, having, you know,
yeah,
living like God, you know, living like Christ would, you know, it's goes back to the WWJD, you know, what would Jesus do? Mm-hmm. If you can try to put that into anything you do in life, I think sometimes that takes the pressure off. You know, don't get me wrong, pressure's always there, but it's a good thing to kind of go back to always.
Yeah, kind of not like a, it's not a me first thing, but it's like, how can I go mm-hmm. and serve the people around me? And if a conversation comes up about like, why are you doing this? Or why are you the way that you are? Kind of not like in like a Michael Scott to Toby kind of way, like, yeah. Why are you the way yeah. that you are? But like, why are you the way that you are? Like, what's different for you? How can I have that kind of thing? And just like being able to just randomly share your faith story with somebody is, I found that to be just really interesting. Like if you're able to just randomly strike up a conversation with a stranger and all of a sudden, like you're having a conversation about God, it's just like, wow.
Yeah.
This must have been something that he mm-hmm. did. It's not something I did. So,
mm-hmm. yeah, that was a big challenge for me in school with, everything was kind of zooming out sometimes, looking at the big picture, mm-hmm. with things and not getting so frustrated or worked up about something. So it was like, you know, someone cuts you off or someone treats you different at school, and it's like, okay, like, yeah, first thing human nature wants me to do right now is get mad, you know, or,
right,
you
know, right,
some kind of reaction. And you really just got to stop, zoom out, look at the big picture, and it's like, okay, yeah, I could do that, and I could just follow the norm, like, you know, the norm, where it's a normal curve where you just reaction, you know, action, reaction, action, reaction. It's like trying to be a little different with how you respond to different things. It's like, is it really getting, you know, worth getting mad about? In a half hour, you're going to forget about it, you know, but your actions do have impact. So it's like trying to control those. So that was a struggle for me, and just kind of learning how to react with different people, because, you know, I came from here and I went to, you know, somewhere else, and it was just having to meet a whole bunch of new people. I couldn't say, oh yeah, you're from around here, like, you know, I knew nothing.
Yeah, so. Yeah, you don't have those backstories for people or how you maybe should respond differently to this mm-hmm. person. You're just learning it all on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's life can be pretty crazy sometimes, and just to be able to take a step back and say, like, all right, is this really worth getting worked up about, or yeah. is there usually something else I need to be doing? Right. So what do you think? I don't know. I didn't go over this before I'm with you, but what do you think God's calling you to do in 2019?
Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely want to get situated, you know, where I'm at with work, but don't be complacent. You'll find a good church. I believe I already found one.
That's
so
good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm solid there, but to continue to be intentional with people, not just fall into a funk. With FCA, you can be an area representative, kind of in a county or a couple counties. So I'm sure they have theirs in Fort Wayne. It's a decently sized city, but I'm sure I could find a spot with FCA kind of in the area. So I think I'm going to try to do that. And with work, I think I'll be traveling here and there. So I don't want to tie myself down too much, but I also don't want to have that be an excuse. So just to kind of find my niche, but not to fall into sometimes how things can get monotony, you know, like how it's just going to be over and over, no changes. I want to, you know, mix things up and just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not fall into a routine
mm-hmm.
and not let life get fresh every now and then. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Keep things interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's important to have. And mm-hmm. especially just being like a recent. You're going to graduate soon.
Mm-hmm.
And so transition period can always be tough. That's kind of what I'm finding myself in right now. It's just like, so I'm moving into my place in June, but it's like, all right, well, I'm kind of bouncing back and forth between my mom's and my dad's right now. I don't really have a home.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm substitute teaching right now, mm-hmm. but I'm in someone else's classroom, not in my own classroom. And so it's like, all right, when will this thing stop flowing and it just be planted? And so I can just start my adulthood, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I think my big word for 2019 is trust. My big word is just to be able to trust in Him and know that, all right, things are shaky or things not maybe the way I want them to be, or there's a lot of big decisions that I have to make. Just pray about it, mm-hmm. trust in Him, make a decision, and then be able to go with that decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
not I can second go along guess with that too.
Constantly. So
with trust.
Trust? Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. We're getting tattoos after the show. oh, you didn't know that?
Tricep.
Yeah, let's go. all right. So, I mean, I've had a great time. Thanks for coming over and being on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any last thing you want to, or all right, last question I want to ask you. Since this is the Northern Nerd and we pride ourselves in being a little bit weird, a little bit kooky.
Yeah.
What is the nerdiest thing that you have?
Nerdiest thing that I have?
Yep, nerdiest item that you have.
We'll start with you. What's the nerdiest thing you have?
Okay, flipping the script here. I like it. I respect it. Nerdiest thing I have is, so I have this lunchbox, and it is of the Iron Giant. And I'm a huge fan of the Iron Giant. So those of you that don't know me, the Iron Giant is my movie.
Nah.
And I bring the lunchbox to school every day. And so I walk into the cafeteria with the third graders, and they're like, what is that? And some of them are just like, Flaringine, I love that movie. And I just have that instant connection with the students. But it's like, I feel like most people my age shouldn't be carrying around a lunchbox like that.
Yeah.
Of the Iron Giant especially. Like, most people are like, yeah, bring my briefcase in kind of
thing.
Can
the kids relate to that at all? Do they?
Yeah. Yeah, they like it. I used to have one that was like a TV. And then every time I'd sit down at a lunch table with the kids, I used to pretend like a different TV show was going on. Mm-hmm. And so the kids would pretend to watch TV with me. Yeah. But I don't know. It's just little stuff like that that gets you through the day.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'd say that's the Iron Giant lunchbox with Hogarth Hughes on the front is the nerdiest thing I own. Without I've answered. It's your turn, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Now, nerdy things I own, you know, I think there's, you know, you have the classic, you know, toys like lightsabers and all that stuff. But
I have two of those in my car.
Yep.
You never know when a fight's going to break out.
You never know when it's going to, yeah, turn into actual lightsaber. Not that it actually isn't, but because it is true. But
easy, Star Wars fans, don't kill us yet.
Nerdiest thing I own. I don't have too many, I'd say, nerdy things. Maybe I've just kind of morphed into a nerdy lifestyle, trying to do, you know, engineering and stuff. But nerdiest thing I own is probably just my own personality. I'd say it's kind of quirky, you know. I think we both know each
own
other
it, man.
Pretty well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just kind of own it, just kind of go with it. But, you know, kind of find myself in awkward situations sometimes. I feel like I thrive pretty good on the awkward situations. So,
yeah.
It's, you know, it's like, why not be awkward? Why not, you know, push your awkward limits, you know?
Yeah. Folks, be awkward. It's okay.
Yeah. More of the whole podcast, be awkward. If you learned anything today.
Yeah, if you learned anything. So, that's the moral of today's story. All right. Well, sir, thank you for coming on. Appreciate it. Love to have you on again. And maybe one day we will go back to the go-kart track and just do a spontaneous victory lap.
Yeah.
Again, throwing Sawyer a wink. You don't know what it is. Go there and ask them. They probably won't tell you. But
they probably don't know anymore.
They probably don't. We got a bunch of rookies there.
That's a sad story.
You can even access with the traffic going on or the highway construction going on right now.
Yeah. It'll be kind of rough.
You know. I know a way to get those carts. If you're listening right now, Mary, I'm sorry, but I do know how to get those carts. Don't worry, I won't use them for evil, only for good.
Well, yeah, thank you for having me on. It was fun.
Yeah, not a problem, man. All right, that was episode number 11 of the Northern Nerd Podcast. Feel free to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and just check us out. Subscribe to us on Spotify. Really appreciate it, and we'll see you next time. Or we'll talk to you next time. We'll talk to you next time. Folks, it is 7:43 and I'm about to pass out as soon as Sora leaves my house. So I'm not kicking him out, but I'm just saying I'm almost ready for bed.
Yeah,
and this is
a passive goodbye.
This is sad. Yeah, it's a passive goodbye. Like we said, be awkward, and that's pretty much how this show is ending. So we'll talk to you later.